You have your Bibles open. We're going to recognize a few other things right at the end of the service, but I want to share with you the Word of God. I'm preaching on Noah, and I told you it'd take us a few weeks, but it may take us a few months the way I'm going, but I'm going to try to get through. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that God has spoken to us in sundry ways in different manners through the prophets. In these last days, it said, he spoke to us through his Son, through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his person, and through who he was, and what he said, and what he taught. The Lord Jesus Christ said, he that seen me have seen the Father. In other words, in the life of Christ, the way he lived and everything, he manifests God the Father. But God the Father, dealing with folk in the Old Testament, makes himself known. And God's been dealing with our heart. We preached on the God of Noah a little bit, and we're going to finish that this morning. But we began with Adam. Adam is the God that's Adam's God, and the God that's Enoch's God, and the God that's Noah's God, and the God that's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is our God. This God is our God forever and forever. I was listening while Cabot was singing. He's a royal descendant, a child of the King. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as the disciples asked him, teach us to pray, he said, you pray like this, our Father, which art in heaven. The God of creation, the God of grace, the God of Adam, the God of Noah, the God of Enoch, the God of Elijah is your heavenly Father if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing to know that. But I want to draw a few lessons just real quickly this morning, again, from the life of Noah. We began by saying Noah's name has the word comfort in it, and he is a God of comfort. It doesn't mean a consolation, although he is a very present help in a time of need. But when he said he's a comforter, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went back to heaven, he said, I will send you another comforter. And boy, how God blessed my heart as I studied that at one time. And that word another means another just like me. When he sent the Holy Ghost of God back, he's just like the Lord Jesus Christ, and he lives inside of you. And that comforter word parakletos means to come alongside, but not just to walk with, but to walk and guide. To means to lead, to walk in you and through you. It means to sustain you. It is somebody who holds you up. And your God is a very present help in a time of need. But he's a God who is a God of all comfort, according to the Apostle Paul. You won't ever have to worry about falling down. A righteous man falls seven times, but he rises again. Why is that? I see the picture in my mind when Peter was sinking and going down in the water, and he cried out and said, Lord, save me. And the Bible said he reached out his hand and lifted him up. I'm glad that you may have problems in this world. You may not be, may have problems with the flesh, the world, the devil, or whatever, but God, he's not going to leave you. He'll be that constant companion. And the God of Noah is a God of comfort. But the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he's a God of grace. God's unmerited favor. God's riches at Christ's expense. It means that what we can't do for ourselves, God has done for us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not one person in here can live good enough to go to heaven. All of our righteousness are filthy rags. But God, who's rich in mercy, he loved us, and he gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. He extended to us because of his love. Through his love, he extends us grace and mercy. And you can be born again by the grace of God. Look in your Bible, please, in Genesis chapter 6. Let me read just a verse or two here. Look at verse number 5, if you will, please, in the book of Genesis. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Remember this, like I mentioned about Enoch, they had no Bible. They had no infrastructure. They had no Christian companions. They didn't have any what you'd call preachers. They end up being the preachers. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And yet they knew God. They found God. You think about it. If you had no background and you had no Bible and you had no internet, and yet to know God and walk with him. Noah, it said, walked with God. And then go on down just a little bit further and let me show you what he said. Back in verse 5, let me go back to verse 5. I skipped verse 5 for you. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look at verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is become before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Here God is speaking to Noah, but we learn something about God. It says that he saw, and then in verse number 12, it said he looked. He saw and he looked. What did he see? What did he see? Let me say this about the way God looks at us and the way God sees us. There's a difference between, I mentioned last Sunday, that you've seen something, but you've looked at something. The word look means to look with intense and with intensity. It means to look into. It means to analyze. It means to dissect, if you will. And the Bible said God looked. Let me tell you something. God is looking at every one of us. It says in this passage of Scripture that when God saw, he saw that the earth was wicked. And then he said this, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That is, the men on the earth. God saw. How does God see? In the first place, God sees perfectly. He sees everything. He sees every aspect of your life. He sees everything about you. And he sees purposefully. He has a purpose. He's not just a casual observer, but it means with intention and with purpose, he's looking at you. He's looking at you. You're his creation. After he created the world, the Bible said, God looked and he said, it is good. Everything's good. But when he looked at man here, it said they were wicked. And they had corrupted the whole world by then. But he looked with a purpose. He looked not only on the surface, but his look is a penetrating look. The Bible says that God looks at the heart. You're sitting in this building this morning. You may not believe a word of this Bible, but there's a God. He's the God of Adam. He's the God of Enoch. He's the God of Noah. And he, with purpose, is looking at everybody in this building. But his look is a perfect look. He has perfect vision. He sees every cell of your body. He sees every cell in your bloodstream. He knows all about you. I marvel at the machinery we have and the inventions we have now to do MRIs and all that. They can look at your brain and all those things. But what they cannot do is see like he sees, because he not only looks on the outward, but he looks on the heart. He can see your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you will think. He knows your imagination, every thought, every imagination. There's right many people in here this morning. I could not call everybody's name in here. But right now, the God of Noah is looking at you. And he sees everything about you. He may see hypocrisy, because he doesn't see you like I see you. And he doesn't see me like you see me. He sees everything inside of me. He sees my thoughts. He sees the intent of my heart. He sees my imagination. I can say one thing with my mouth, but it doesn't affect him a bit, because he sees perfectly everything about me. But can I say this to you? He looks in the Hebrew and in the Greek and in the English language. There's those type of words that are ongoing. They last and last and last. And when he said he looked, he did wasn't a casual glance. His look is a perpetual look. He looks at you all the time. We have our hearts broken when we don't see our family and we can't find them or something like that. But he sees you everywhere you are. He said in the book of Jeremiah, can darkness hide you? The answer, of course, is no. You can't hide, because he said the darkness is like the light of day to him. You can't hide anything from him. He knows your heart. He knows if you're real, if you're genuine, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved. He looks at you in every way like that. And he sees everything about you. And he does it with a purpose. Why? Why does he look at you so like that? I have seen mothers. I wanted to introduce the family. Is the baby still here? We got the brand new baby here. And Brandon and Jessica's back. And I guess the other two are back in the back. I was going to introduce them morning. But I see them on Facebook. And I've watched them with the babies. And we got babies back in here. And I find myself and my wife, when our children were little, I'd look at her sometime and the baby would be laying in the crib. She's just looking at our sons, looking at our daughters. And you wonder, well, what are you looking at? And she's just looking because she cares, because she loves them. And I want to tell you right now, God's not looking at you for an ulterior motive. He's looking at you because he cares. He could find multitudes of sin in me and in you too, but it does not deter his looking. He's looking at you because he cares. He wants your life to be changed, to be right with him, because he knows what he can do. Paul said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You have an infinite supply of everything you'll ever need in God the Father. And he's looking to you longing that you would be willing to let him bless you. Let him move in your life. I've got a lot of things I want to say about this, but let me say this. He is a God that looks at you with purpose. You remember on the cross, the thief cried out, remember me when they come into the kingdom. The Lord looked at him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Remember when he had prophesied and told Peter that he would deny him three times. The Bible said when the rooster crowed, he saw him. My dear friend, the Lord saw you, everything you've ever done. But the thing is, before you were ever born, he saw everything. He saw every sin. He saw every failure. And so when he sent his son, the Bible said he laid on him the iniquity of us all. He saw every need you ever had. He saw every sin you'd ever commit. And on Calvary's cross, he gave his son as a sacrifice to pay for every one of those sins. He did it because he loved you. He looks at you now, not to find fault, but that you might know him. He knows your every need. He knows your burden. Can I say to you, some of you got inside of you this morning pain, you've got a sorrow, you've got a grief, you've got a burden that nobody else knows, but he's looking at you this morning and he knows your need. The Bible said that he can heal the brokenhearted. He sees every need you've got. the need you have for forgiveness of sin, the grace you'll need to go through whatever you're fixing to face tomorrow. And he's already finished it. He's already got it done. It's a done thing. It's on the way. He's looking at you now. He's the God who sees you. The God of Noah is a God who sees everybody, every human being on the face of the earth, the babies that we don't know in deepest, darkest Africa. He sees them. The derelict in a tree line somewhere camping, no home. God sees him. But he sees you, and he sees every one of them. God's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us. He's been dealing with your heart. He's been speaking to your heart, and you've been resisting. But, oh, he wants you to come to him. He wants you to repent. He wants you to get right with him. He wants you to cast all your cares on him. He wants to rid you of pain inside. You maybe have things happen when you were a child, and right now you can't forget it and you cannot forgive. Our next series on Wednesday, and I hope you'll be here Wednesday morning, I'm going to be preaching on forgive one another. And one of the great tools of the devil is unforgiveness, bitterness. And I want to show you from the Bible about how God can rid you of an unforgiving heart. People may have done horrible things to you. And are they worthy of forgiveness? No, they are not. But you're worthy to forgive them, because there's something hurting inside of you, and it ought to be healed when you have the grace of forgiveness to forgive them biblically. But he'll forgive you of everything you've ever done. If you knew me like he knows me, you may not love me, but he knows everything about you, and he loved you enough to give his son for you. And if he gave his son for you, he'll freely give you all things. I want you to bow your heads in prayer. We have been blessed this month to have Eric and Laura with us. I'm so thankful this morning so many of our church family are back. I was going to try to call some of your names, and I didn't want to miss anybody, but I'm looking around the auditorium this morning. So many of you have been sick, and you're back this morning. We're so blessed to have you here. We came back off the Singing at Sea and had a great time. And Eric came this way, and Laura went home for a while, and she got the flu. And she was there, and he was down here, and they're trying to help take care of her daddy, who has Alzheimer's. But just prior to their going on the cruise, many of you know she's been dealing with lupus and some other things for a long time. But she was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And so she came back home with the flu, with all of that, and she had to start her regimen of the new medicines for Parkinson's disease. She's had a time. I texted Eric and I said, I know y'all fixing to go back on the road at 1st of March, and if it's possible, if Laura feels like it, I'd like for her to sing. While we're standing together, would you stand for a moment? I want to pray, and I want to give this invitation. God's not looking at you to find some reason to cast you into hell. He's looking at your every hurt, your every sorrow, your every weakness, and he's wanting to make you know that he's able to perfectly heal you and to save you and to do what you need, because he cares. I want to invite you this morning. Maybe you've been praying about a church home. Maybe you don't know him as your Savior and Lord. I want you to come this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Your way to the Father to get to know this God is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And you have to believe on him. You have to receive him yourself. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got everything to gain and nothing to lose by this morning in your heart crying out to Him, and He knows your heart, and said, God, please forgive me. Please save me. Come in my heart. Live inside of me. And if you need some prayer or you need somebody to pray with you, we'll meet you here at the front. But while you're here this morning before God, I want you to obey the Lord. If you need to come for any reason, get around this altar. Please do it. Heavenly Father, I'm asking right now that God the Holy Ghost will work in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Lord, there was a time that we were without God and without hope, strangers from the Commonwealth of Israel. But God, you broke down that middle wall of partition in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you made it possible for us to come to you to receive forgiveness and to be born again by the grace of God through the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, draw people. This is your work. This is your people. Do what you want to now in these moments. I invite you to come to the altar once again. You'll not be the first. There's some already here.